Dueling Monists at the OK Corral. The argument for a conscious universe has been swirling for more than a decade among cosmologists and the conferences they attend. But you don't read headlines such as "Universe Turns Topsy-Turvy." The number of theorists who started out as physicalists, only to realize that consciousness is everything, isn't zero. But it's not far from zero either. In some horror movies, the hero has done all the right things. Shot the vampire in the heart with a silver bullet, warded off Dracula with a cross, or exposed him to the withering light of day, and still the creature keeps coming back. Physicalism keeps coming back, for the most part, because of a mental habit we discussed almost at the start. Naive realism. If you get hit by a bus, you're dead. Refutes all objections. End of story. A more sophisticated objection can be called the case of the dueling monisms. Proponents concede that reality is indeed one thing, but that one thing is physical, not mental. Here's how the argument might go. Physical monist. You say that the universe is mind-made. Within your monism, mind turns into matter. But you don't say how. The brain isn't where the mind lives, according to you. But if you cut off someone's head, there's not much mind left. So the only thing your consciousness model has going for it is that you happen to believe in it. Well, surprise, we have a monism too. In it, there's a physical process behind everything. We can measure these processes. They fit beautifully with mathematical predictions. Scanning the brain, we can observe the mind at work. Our monism is just as consistent as yours, and it's supported by a mountain of evidence. You've now listened to dozens of ways to refute this argument, but it's clear that mere refutation isn't good enough. Technology is science's ace in the hole. And there's an implicit threat that if we give up the physicalist approach, the world will slide backward into primitive times. Technology will be stalled by airheaded mystics and philosophers. People love their iPhones and flat-screen televisions, all the technology that the physicalist approach has created. Would anyone risk losing all of that? This isn't a veiled threat. In repeated interviews, popular planetary scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson has warned that philosophy is worse than useless compared with science. Two examples. 1. My concern here is that the philosophers believe they are actually asking deep questions about nature. And to the scientists, it's, what are you doing? Why are you concerning yourself with the meaning of meaning? 2. Don't derail yourself on questions that you think are important because philosophy class tells you this. The scientist says, look, I got all this world of unknown out there. I'm moving on. I'm leaving you behind. You can't even cross the street because you are distracted by what you are sure are deep questions. The confidence behind these assertions ignores the fact that the deep questions deGrasse Tyson disdains were brought up by the greatest quantum physicist of the last century. Let's set that aside. We can take a different tack, which is to show that consciousness offers a better life than technology. It opens up a future in which the planet can be saved from potential destruction. It puts the individual at the switch, where choices change personal reality. At the same time, all this world of unknown will be supplied with answers that only consciousness can supply. If we can accomplish all of these things in our concluding chapter, the duel of the monists at the OK Corral will be over. And when it is, everyone still gets to hold on to their iPhones.